Hey guys.
Hi queens.
Happy September. I can't believe it. Happy fall to all those who celebrate. I certainly celebrate. So happy fall. I don't care when the actual first day of fall is.
Yeah, September just means it's fall. Giving fall for sure, especially with the New York Fashion Week coming up.
I know.
It's like fall.
So crazy. So yes, happy September. We were just talking about it. I can't believe I got married this year. It seems like so long ago. Honestly, this year has flown by and I feel like a lot of things have happened. A lot more things are going to happen. So I don't know if that's just like getting older and being an adult. Like you're just more aware of time and things.
It just feels like it's flying by.
I know, which is crazy. So, but honestly, I'm so happy for fall. I feel like I have so many just outfit ideas, outfit inspo, and I just feel like the season is not long enough for the amount of outfits I want to share. Like, I just feel like you can do so much with fall, and I just get so excited. I almost get overwhelmed because I'm so excited because there's just so much to do, like all the boots and the coats, the sweaters, just in all the trends, like there's just so much. So it's like so hard to choose what you want to focus on and work on. So
I feel like everyone's hopping on the bandwagon now, like of being excited for fall and just seeing it more and more. So I'm excited to see how everyone like brings out their fall style. And I'm really excited.
Same. And then it's also New York Fashion Week this week, which is so crazy. It starts, I think it's the sixth is official start date. So we're not going this year, but I feel like it just really creeped up on us this year. Mm-hmm. And if we were going, I think I would still be in shock at how quickly it got here.
Oh, you know what I mean? Yeah. But we are
protecting our mental health and not.
I really don't know how we did it last year because we did the same sort of thing where it was New York Fashion Week and then we left for our trip like the next week. Actually, last year we had even less time.
It was like 3 days between the two trips.
Yeah, that's just a lot of stress, as you guys could imagine. So we are kind of just in the prepping stages for that trip.
Yeah, just decided to sit out New York Fashion Week this year, really just prep for our South of France trip and really kind of put all of our energy and ideas into that. And then we immediately go into Paris Fashion Week the following week. So I feel like those two things back to back in itself is already a lot. So it's like we didn't want to add to our plates even more like we did last year, because I just remember coming home and just being so exhausted.
Literally so exhausted.
And then you're continuing to even travel two more weeks, I think, after Paris. So I think you're gone like basically a full month.
So
which is so crazy.
I am excited to sit this one out, TBH.
And then I'm hopping over to London with my dad and sister for like 3-4 days. Like it's a very quick trip in October as well. So just looking at our plans and scheduling ahead, we are okay missing New York Fashion Week this year, and maybe it'll generate excitement for next year. So we'll see.
We're excited to see it through. Anyone who's going, it's always fun, I feel like, to kind of live vicariously through the girlies going. So we are looking forward to seeing how you guys experience New York Fashion Week. Let us know if you're going.
We will miss you guys, but we'll see what we have in store for next year. What is your current influence this week?
My current influence is like all things Uggs. I'm like really excited. I already wore my Uggs this past week, and I'm just very excited. I got a new pair in, which, by the way, Kylo took a massive poop on, unfortunately. Like,
okay, at least he didn't bite a chunk. I know,
and I remember
like my
dog
did,
to you.
And I had to order a brand new pair because my dog ate.
I remember that happened to you, and I was like, "That this must be like a new Uggs thing, because what the heck? He never does that. Literally, he has never done that before. He like had an upset stomach for like 2 days where it was, he was going in the house because he couldn't control it at night. And for some reason, this room is where he does it if he has to like really go. And he does this like maybe like once or twice a year. And of course it happened to be on my new Uggs. So I think they're going to be stained on the back. I know, but I'm like, you really just had to go on my, I wish I took a photo, but I was so livid because it looked like a cartoon, like literally like the emoji poop. That was what it looked like on the back of my Ugg. I'm glad it was on the back, but yeah, that was really funny, but so unfortunate. I was literally livid. I'm sure
I honestly
you
think
experienced that too.
Maybe dogs are attracted to the leather-esque smell or
maybe
something.
Like the sheepskin. It was like a cozy vibe. I don't know.
But then for him to aim and land it on your shoe.
Dude, yeah. I mean, in his defense, like it was on the floor, like facing, it was like
right, but he would have to squat over them and, like, walk over them, basically. Or back up into it. You know what I mean?
No, I have no idea what the thought. Like, I truly don't know how. It just seemed so funny how it just happened to be on my new. But however, like, thank God, because for some reason I have this out on my floor as well. Like, my brand new retrofit.
Honestly,
set in its box.
Glad he chose the Uggs.
I know. Like, thank God. There was 2 boxes that were open that are for Paris that were brand new, very expensive. And, like, thank God he chose the Uggs. So that's the bright side.
Oh, my gosh. He's like, I tried, Mom.
I know. We have since bought a lock on the outside where you can, like, it's kind of like a child lock.
Yeah.
So, because he can open doors, like he can open this door. So we bought that since then. So hopefully that doesn't happen. But anyways, I'm just excited to bring out all my Uggs. I have realized I have quite a few now.
Like, I know, same, honestly, going. So excited. And I feel like I wear mine around the house as just slippers right now. I got I think it's the Taz. The platform Taz.
Yes, I saw you got those. My sister just got them too. She loves them.
I'm obsessed. So I've been wearing them around the house. I haven't taken that. They're not like an outside shoe yet. So I've just been wearing them inside. But so excited for Ugg season. I'm trying to decide if they're worth dragging to Paris. I'm not sure yet. I don't know if they're going to make the cut. I need to like lay out all my shoe options, figure out the outfits and the shoe situation, and then see if there's room. So.
I know I can't decide either, but I did love wearing my little slippers last year, so I'm trying to decide. What is your influence of the week?
Mine is currently long rectangular bags. I feel like it is a trend right now, and I'm just seeing them everywhere, and I'm getting served all the ads. Like, my favorite one right now, I feel like I have a shopping list for Paris, and there's a lot of factors that are going into this list, but basically it's like, if I don't get my number one item, then I can get the number two item, but if I don't get the number two item, then I can get the number three item, but I can't do like 1, 2, and 3, so it's like a tiered situation. I feel like this is like kind of number 3/4 on my potential shopping list. I'm obsessed with the Bottega one. I've seen a couple girls style it. I feel like it's just so chic and classy. I think it's called the Andiamo longer bag, and it's just so stunning. Dior also has, I think it's the Lady Dior, but they have it in the long version, not the square.
Cute.
Like a lot of people have the cute square ones. They make it in the rectangular size.
Oh,
two,
okay. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Which I feel like is so cute. And then I keep getting served these ads on Instagram. I think you say it Freya. It's F-R-E-J-A. And I keep getting their ads, and they're so stunning. So I actually just ordered and got one because on Revolve, because they just started carrying it on Revolve, I think. So
cute.
I haven't opened it yet. So I haven't
even
looked at it.
But see it.
I don't even know how to explain this, but like in my life, I love rectangular shapes, like rectangular things, like just make me
honestly
happy.
True. Even your wedding ring,
everything. Like I'm not
ring,
like a round person at all, like shapes wise. I don't know why I get like my Jeep is like very rectangular. You know, it's not like smooth edges.
Wait, just, that's
like,
so true.
Everything.
I'm
like
screaming.
Coffee tables are rectangular. Like. All I don't know, it's just like something in me that I'm just drawn towards, and so I think that's why I'm very much loving this trend because it's very mm-hmm. like squared, rectangular, you know? So I don't know, but I just love the trend. I think it's so chic and I hope it becomes more of a classic because I feel like it's, I just love seeing all the designers do it. So
yeah,
that is my current influence. So
yeah, I could definitely see that as a trend for fall. I feel like you pointed it out and now I keep seeing more and more. So I feel like that has to be like a pretty big trend this year, this season.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm excited for that and we'll see what the Paris shopping gods bring into our life this year.
I'm excited to find out.
But we're strategically planning and we will see. So
yes.
Keep you guys posted on that. But this week we are doing a Q&A episode. We're really excited. We got some really good questions and yeah, we put up question boxes. So thank you guys for submitting your questions. And mm-hmm. I feel like these are really good topics. Yeah. We haven't really looked over this. So this is kind of going to be just off the cuff and mm-hmm. what comes to mind and just a little chit chat. So
yeah.
I guess we can just dive in and get started with the episode. So first question is blogging still a thing? Do you think it could help with growth when you're just starting out?
Good question. For me personally, I feel like I use blogs, like the actual website blog, every once in a while when I have time and I think about it just for SEO purposes. Because I feel like that's a good way to drive traffic to your website and that is always a great thing. But I think you do blogs more, right? Blog posts
yeah,
more.
Yeah, I think for me, it's more of just like a passion project slash mm-hmm. something that I enjoy. I think there's still a thing, but I think it's more, I don't know how to explain it. Like it's, they're not as prevalent as they used to be for yeah. sure. Like I feel like when everyone started,
that
like part of starting
like, yes.
was having a blog.
Was so, having a website with a blog. Yeah.
That was like all part of it. But now obviously you can have an Instagram or a TikTok without a blog and it doesn't really matter. I just like having a personal website or just personal mm-hmm. space on the internet that's mine that I can curate. And I just, I don't know. I have my assistant help me with it too. So we'll just do like, if there's any sales going on or I kind of started this thing where I want to basically recreate my Instagram feed on my blog, you know, just in case. I'm not going to say what would potentially happen because
you know what I mean? Yeah.
But just in case I upload like, it's like one blog post basically, but it's just photos and it's just my Instagram feed basically. And then we just link my LTK post to it. So if you were just scrolling it, it would look like my Instagram feed and then you could just click the outfit or whatever.
That.
But that's just for my personal peace of mind and for my aesthetic to like always kind of have that, you know,
yeah.
as something.
So how often do you like post on your website, you think?
Probably, well, I was doing once a week, but I feel like I kind of stopped a little, but mm-hmm. I try once a week, once every 2 weeks.
Yeah, I feel like that's good.
I don't know. I just think it's fun. It's a fun place to share your thoughts and especially like travel guides and everything. I need mm-hmm. to share those on my stories because a couple people have asked about Paris tips.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's so funny because my manager is on her honeymoon in she did Paris first and then she went to the south of France. So she's in the south of France now. So she's basically doing what we're doing.
Love that.
And she was like asking for all the tips and I told her all about giraffe and everything. And she ended up getting a reservation and she went. So I was like, oh, so perfect. Love that. And she sent me a photo. So cute. But yeah, I think travel guides or just, I don't know, it's just kind of like a fun little happy place. And then I have it where it hosts my like preset, my ebook, mm-hmm. and like all that there too. So it's like if people are searching that, it all comes up under my website. So it's just kind of like my little corner of the internet that's like my aesthetic happy zone.
Yeah,
basically.
I would say like most people, I think like obviously we have websites because when we first started, like,
that
it was very much a
thing.
Like everyone had a website, but I think it's like very useful. I think everyone should have a website, honestly. Like there's no harm in it. I think it kind of legitimizes what you're doing too. kind of, and like you can have everything in one place. I feel like it's always a good mm-hmm. idea. So
all your links, all your yeah. platforms.
I think if yeah. you're starting out and you're thinking about it, like there's literally nothing to lose. I feel like it's just creating more SEO and content under your name. So I think it can definitely help.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I've gotten anything in terms of like brand partnerships. Yeah. That's yeah. also what you're asking too. Like it hasn't really generated anything like that. But I know that some girls do post like newsletters with blog posts and stuff. So mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like there's so much potential in things you could get creative with and do with a blog. And it's just like your space that you can create that you own. So it's not like it's going to get taken down or taken away.
Yeah.
In, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like the more you can kind of like add to this resume of who you are mm-hmm. that brands can look at, I think everything is good, honestly. It's kind of like how well-rounded are you? That's like what I think of when girls are super consistent on like random stuff. Like sometimes I'll see girls, like they're so consistent on their websites. They're so consistent on like their LTK and like Amazon storefront, like just random little things. And mm-hmm. I think that goes so far in how much you care about your audience and like what you're creating. I think it's just like a little thing that, mm-hmm. I don't know, shows a lot.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And mm-hmm. I feel like you said, with brands, like they may not use it, but it just kind of legitimizes you as a creator. Mm-hmm. Like you're being like, you're taking it seriously. Like,
yes.
You know, so yeah, like you said, I don't think it could hurt you in any way. And I feel like it's just a good outlet to have. And it's a platform or space that you own. And mm-hmm. we talk about that too. So it's like, you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket, and you want to make sure you have your space. So
yeah
I mean, I love it. I recommend it. So mm-hmm.
yeah
why not?
Our advice is yes, do it.
Love that. Okay, next question is, how do you plan your content? Is it by week, month, or not at all, and just more of whatever you're feeling?
I feel like it kind of depends like what we have lined up with when we shoot and stuff, but ideally by week. Month is, I'm never planning by month, honestly. Like that's a lot of content ahead of time. So I usually plan by realistically like 3 days ahead is like usually what it comes out to, but also like whatever I'm feeling.
Yeah, I feel like, oh, how the times have definitely changed.
Yes.
Like, there was a period in my life where I think I had content planned out for, like, 3 weeks. Like, I would, like,
that was impressive.
My grid. Like, I would just have all this content. I don't know how this happened or how I was able to manage this, but there's no way I feel like I do that now. And now I feel like if I planned that far out, I would just get tired of my content, or I'd be over it by the time I got to it. So I'm like, eh.
That's always
so helpful. Yeah. I feel like I'm kind of similar to you. Like, I feel like we have our content basically. And then I feel like I don't necessarily like plan it out now. I just kind of look and I'm like, okay, like we kind of have our routines of like what we post when. So I kind of mm-hmm. evaluate that with the type of content I have available. So for example, like Monday is when I post my crosswalk photo. So that's always my Monday post. But if I don't have a crosswalk photo available, then I'll probably just post a similar street style photo that I have ready to go basically. And then I just feel like I kind of follow my routine, and then I pull from my content to see like what's available, I guess, if that makes sense. So I would say like for me now, it's honestly been like 1 to 2 days. Like I'm not really going that far out. And then also I feel like this is new, and like a good thing for me is kind of doing the whatever you're feeling type situation. That's never really been me, but now I'm kind of like, I feel like I've gotten so much better at not forcing it if I'm not feeling it, like skipping a post day if it's just like not there or whatever, or just if I want to post something different than my normal routine, like doing that. So
yeah,
I don't know. I feel like I lean towards like feeling the vibes for my planning my content.
And also it's like, okay, if I have like a million sitting photos at once, then it's like you have to reevaluate. And so
yeah,
Yeah, it's kind of.
Yeah, I feel like we just like look at the feed. We kind of see what's going on, and it's like, okay, yes, we've have a ton of sitting coffee photos, so I need like a standing different kind of pose, or I need a different background. Okay, I'm gonna go into my photos, see what I have available. Okay, this one looks good, and then we like put it into our feed planner, look at it, and then as long as it looks good, then just go with that. And then I feel like I do that every day.
Yeah.
So I'm like constantly doing that. That's basically
definitely the routine.
I don't like sit down and like plan out my whole week by doing that, because I feel like what we said, what would happen is I would plan my whole week out, and then by the time I got to a photo like 4 days later, I wouldn't like it anymore.
Yeah,
like
you're,
because if you look at something too much, I feel like you just don't like it anymore. I don't know.
Yeah,
so,
I agree.
So yeah, so I feel like that's kind of the process right now. And but honestly, I would just do whatever works for you. Again, this is our full-time job, so we have the time to do this. Mm-hmm. But if you are a 9-to-5 girly and you have to pre-plan your week to set yourself up for success, definitely do that. So I feel like it just depends on your schedule, what works best for you, where your mental headspace is at, and yeah, all that.
Yeah.
All those things I feel like are good. So yeah, that's kind of what we do though, and like an insight on how we plan basically. Okay. Yeah. Next question. Do you guys have any PR agency recommendations for New York Fashion Week, and how do you go about contacting them?
Okay. So we do have, wait, was our last episode New York Fashion Week?
Yeah,
I think so. So we have a full episode on this, but PR agency recommendations. Like off the top of my head, the ones I can think of in New York are like Purple, Factory PR. Like a good one is like CLD. They're in, I think they have an office in New York, but also in LA.
Bolare has always done stuff when we did there. And then, Infinity Creative, which also has the office in LA. And then I think Brand Edit is doing a New York Fashion Week one.
Oh, cool. Okay. Brand Edit.
Love that. So, yeah. So I feel like those are good ones to start with. Honestly, I feel like you could go on their Instagram or potentially their websites and just find a contact email, and then you can just pitch them and let them know, just say like, hey, like, so lovely to be connected, I'm gonna be in New York for Fashion Week on these dates, I wanted to reach out and see if you guys had any brand activations, you know, going on, or anything you think I'd be a good fit for. I'd love to help support, you know, what you're doing this year. Just something short, sweet, simple, just letting them know, because then I feel like they, I mean, I don't know if this is how it works, but in my head, they like note you down and put you on a roster basically.
Yeah.
And so like just getting your name and email to them is great, because then when they have events and stuff, they're going to go to this roster, they're going to filter by certain criteria they're looking for, and then whoever is on that list, they're going to blast an email to. That's how it works in my head. I honestly have no idea.
Yeah.
I could be completely making that up, but yeah. So I feel like just reaching out, introducing yourself, and just letting them know you're going to be there is always the best way to go about it. DMing them as well could also help. I feel like everyone is going to be on their socials, on their email a lot this week, just because there are a lot of things going on. So hopefully that helps you. And yeah, just reach out to any agencies. And if any girls post on their stories about events and stuff, reach out to those brands. Like if you see people going to showroom, you can just like DM the brand and be like, hey, I saw you guys are doing a showroom at Fashion Week. Like, do you have any more appointments available? I feel like that's a really good question to ask. Because then if they do, then they'll let you know. And if they don't, then they'll also let you know.
Yeah, don't be afraid to reach out is like the biggest thing, because just know everyone is reaching out right now. Mm-hmm. They're getting a million emails a day. You're not, like, this is their job. And
you're not burdening them. You're not.
They might even be looking for more girls for something. So maybe just think of it that way.
Yeah, that's a good take on that.
Yeah.
I feel like, you really just have to pitch yourself and put yourself out there, and it, like, things aren't just gonna fall in your lap. So I feel like to make the most out of it, if you haven't yet, definitely start putting yourself out there, especially because this week was like a holiday week with Labor Day. So I feel like people are already like a day behind in a sense. Like there's already playing catch up and things are just, I feel like it's immediately Labor Day and then a hectic, crazy Tuesday to catch up because like New York Fashion Week starts, I think it's Thursday or Friday. I can't remember.
Yeah, but it's going to
whenever the 6th is. So yeah, it's going to be very like high pace. And then I feel like anything in New York in general is high paced anyway. Yeah. So it's like double high pace. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's our tips on agencies and how we would contact them if we were reaching out. So, okay, next question is tips when you've been blogging for 10 years and haven't seen any growth.
Okay, well, I feel
that's
like
definitely frustrating for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I've seen some girls post about this and like, things are picking up for them. But I think you just have to kind of like shift your strategy a little bit, because if you haven't seen growth and you've been doing this for quite a while, maybe it's time to switch things up. I would say if you can focus on video content, real content, I would definitely put some focus there. That is where a lot of growth happens, and we've talked about this, but that's like where content is being pushed to non-followers most of the time and hitting like the real explore page. So I feel like think about shifting your content, like what's not working, try some new avenues, try some new styles of content and see if anything happens.
Yeah, I feel like another thing I would do is potentially go through your following list and remove any bots or maybe accounts that haven't posted in a couple years, or like spammy male followers. Like just get rid of accounts that really aren't benefiting your account, because the way the algorithm works is, you know, obviously when you post, it gets shown out to a small percentage of your followers. And then based on that engagement, then it's either going to get pushed out more or it's going to get pushed less. And so I feel like if it is being shown to inactive accounts or bots, then it's just going to truly die and like stop and not go anywhere. So
yeah,
I feel like that's something you can proactively do to help your account. And I think too, I feel like there are some girls, like you don't have to like have a huge following to have a dedicated audience and get good brand deals. So I feel like if you're in a good position, like I feel like I know girls who have accounts that are like between 30K and 40K and they've been there for 5+ years, but they still get really good brand deals. They, you know, do affiliate commissions. They have a really good relationship with their audience. Like you don't need a ton of followers just to, you know, quote unquote, be successful. So I feel like I would honestly kind of do an audit on your account. We have a full episode dedicated to doing an audit and really just evaluate things and be honest with yourself. And then like Danielle said, trying out new content, seeing what's working, doing video content, because that's how you kind of grow on Instagram these days. So I feel like if I was in that position, that's kind of what I would do. I feel like a lot of people ask like, oh, should I start a new account or should I just keep this one? And I feel like it's personal preference, but for me, I would probably just keep my account. Like we saw so many girls try and start new accounts. And I think there was one girl that we know who was successful with it and who took her new account and grew it pretty big. So if you do start a new account, you're literally starting from scratch and you have to basically give it your all, because I feel like you can't run two accounts halfway each. You know what I mean? Like you have to be fully committed to this new one.
And then people are confused.
Yeah. And then they don't want to follow both accounts. So then they're like, what's going on?
Like you get one.
Yeah.
Which one is it? Yeah.
So I would just keep, like we always say, it's a long game. Like keep trekking along and just kind of evaluate, do an audit and see, you know, what's doing well and start doing more of that. Try following trends, like look at your explore page, see what's trending and try to create similar content like that. That's in your style. I feel like
that's
what I would do.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we've all been there and been through those periods of slow to no to negative growth. So you're definitely not alone. And I feel like it's part of the process. And I feel like the girls that I've seen who like haven't grown in so long and had kind of low engagement, like it just feels like everyone has their moment eventually. Totally. And then like all of a sudden these girls are like growing, they have really good engagement and they are thriving. So it's like, I feel like you just have to stick with it and keep going and just play the long game and your time will come. Like I truly, truly believe that.
Yeah, I agree. Like so. You just never know when it's gonna happen. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And you wouldn't want to quit the day before it was going to happen. You know what I mean?
True.
So just stick with it. You got this, girl. Like, you're going to, it's coming to you. Okay.
Yeah.
I feel it. So, okay. Next question is, how do you guys make your videos with good quality? What do you use?
We just use our phones. I have the iPhone 14 Pro Max. And I think like the biggest thing is we lock, whenever we're shooting, we lock it on each other, like in the frame, and pull down the exposure just a little bit. And I just feel like it makes such a big difference, especially with this whole like auto adjust feature going on. Mm-hmm. I feel like doing that really helps. Some girls say that burst is good for the auto adjust feature, but I don't know, locking it slightly down creates kind of more of like a, I don't know.
I feel like it just controls the lighting a little better.
Yeah.
Like it kind of is like giving direction to the lighting on what to do instead of being like, here, lighting, do what you think is best. And then it not getting
there. It's like right fuzzy vibe. And like, yeah. So that's for photos. And then for videos, we shoot, I think my quality is 1080 by 60. I don't know. I don't have mine at 4K and I feel like it's fine, but I think yours is on 4K, right?
No, I don't have mine on 4K either, just because it takes up way too much space.
Yeah.
And like the processing power, I feel like it just really slows down your phone and uses up battery, uses up space. And one time when I was trying to film a vlog on my phone, I thought I was like, oh, I'm going to film it in 4K because like my camera's such good quality. I'm going to do it on my phone. Right. And then when I went to edit it, it was too, I don't remember what exactly happened, but it was like the editing software couldn't process the 4K. Yeah. So I had to sit there and literally convert like 200 videos into HD 60 so that I could literally edit this vlog. And that was very traumatic for me. So I think my camera setting is HD 60. Pretty sure.
I think, yeah.
And then I'll edit it in InShot and like tweak the lighting and all that kind of stuff. And then when I export, I think that just settings when you export in InShot is 4K. So I think I've always just done that. We recently discovered.
Yeah, I use like CapCut exclusively now. So I just export. I realized the default setting, which I could probably adjust, but the default I think in CapCut is like 1080 by 30. And that wasn't good. So I do 1080 by 60 every time, and I think the quality looks completely fine. So yeah, that's what we use. We don't like shoot really on cameras unless like you'll know if it's a camera. Like the quality looks very different. And I love a camera shot, but I just feel like it's like time and place with we've noticed for both of our audiences. It's like time and place. So
like I feel like events that we're dressed up for, makeup is done, like, like a good night shot. Photo, that's always good for camera. But like everyday outfit photos that we're doing, they just perform better with an iPhone photo. So
That's kind of what we've just make sure you guys are cleaning your screen, like seriously, it makes cleaning your camera. The lens like makes such a huge difference. I never really knew this until you told me this one day. And I was like, oh, it really does make a huge difference. And you wouldn't really think of it.
You can tell when people don't clean their camera lens. And I just wish I could be like, girl, please clean your lens. It would look so good.
But like the quality will improve. Yeah. So just make sure you're doing that. Lighting is key. You don't need something super fancy.
Yeah. I feel like we get a lot of questions in our DMs all the time. Like, oh, how'd you shoot this? Like, what camera are you using? And it's literally 99% of the time is our iPhone. So, and I have the 13 Pro Max. So she's looking to upgrade this year, hopefully. My battery life is not great anymore, and my storage is full, so I need a new battery. I need a terabyte, and hopefully the camera is not that bad. So fingers crossed for that. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question is, what are your guys' thoughts on TikTok Shop?
I feel like this is a very TikTok Shop, I feel like, is becoming like the new UGC. Like, I feel like it's a really great way that people are making money, like, entirely separate. I think there's like a whole world out there for TikTok Shop.
It's giving like Amazon influencer. You know how there are girls who are dedicated Amazon influencer, all they post
and they're making it big, like they are getting all the benefits, they're like making a really good amount of money.
That's what it's giving. Have you been like TikTok Shop influencer?
Yes. And I'm getting a lot of ads to become a TikTok Shop influencer, like all the time when I'm on TikTok and scrolling. So I definitely feel like this is becoming a new thing, like entirely. I personally view this entirely separate from being like an influencer on TikTok. Like, I feel like those two things are very different and like kind of like separate. Like, I don't really see established.
Well, I feel like you have to like make certain kinds of videos, because I feel like anytime I try to do like TikTok Shop anything, first of all, I don't think the video can have background music. So it basically has to be a talking video, because it's the whole copyright thing, because you're selling product basically. So like, you can't have just like a non-talking video with vibey music. So there's that. And then a lot of the times when I want to link a product that I'm talking about, it's not even on TikTok Shop. So I feel like you have to strategically be scrolling TikTok Shop, seeing what's available, and then creating content specifically around that. So like you said, it's like honestly a whole nother job in itself, where girls are very dedicated to the TikTok Shop. And yeah, like you can make such great money, affiliate, TikTok boosts it because they want to like promote TikTok Shop. Yeah. So it's like definitely a really good opportunity. Like, maybe if you're not seeing growth on Instagram, or you're not seeing growth on your main platform, maybe start trying TikTok Shop. I don't know.
Yeah. Like, if you want to make some extra money, I feel like this is a really, like, this is like a new UGC avenue. I feel like there are brands that want to collaborate with like TikTok Shop influencers specifically. We actually have a friend who is signed to a TikTok Shop agency. So,
and they like negotiate commission rates. So basically, like, TikTok Shop has just the set commission rates that are kind of low, but apparently there are partnerships that you can do within TikTok Shop where they actually negotiate the percentage of the commission, and it's like way higher when you do it through the brand or something like that. So it definitely is a thing, but like for me, I don't know. I don't feel like I have the capacity right now to be scrolling on TikTok Shop and figuring, I don't even know if I keep saying like so many different things. TikTok, I'm like TikTok Shop.
TikTok.
You guys know what we're saying. I don't have the capacity to be scrolling, figuring out what products I need to use, and then creating content specifically around those products. Like, for me, I just want to share products that I'm already genuinely using. And then if they are on TikTok Shop, then great. But a lot of the times they either aren't, or you like you'd have to have the royalty free music or whatever behind it if you're not talking. And then also my other problem is when I do talking videos, I have millennial pauses, and so I have to very much edit these videos down to cut out all my millennial pauses. So I can't just like film a video and then like be good to go and like post and like tag the product. Like, I just talk way too slow and pause, and I don't know. That's just, I don't talk fast. So that's another struggle for me, where it's like this whole project, it becomes basically like, it's not a simple thing for millennial me. But if you're good at talking fast and being succinct and to the point with what you're talking about, like, great opportunity.
Yeah. I feel like I haven't gotten to a point where it feels authentic to me yet. And like, the content that I'm trying to create and brand I'm trying to have like on TikTok just doesn't feel authentic. But I think for some people it comes really natural and they're really good salespeople, like mm-hmm. naturally, like that's like what they're good at. So I think if it can be like super authentic to you and it comes naturally, like definitely go for it. But yeah, it's becoming this whole other thing that is very lucrative to a lot of people. So try it out, see if it's like a good fit for you. I want to like do them more casually, but I just feel like, I swear, every single time I see one, it just comes off so, like, I just scroll past it. And I don't know mm-hmm. if that's like the content Same. That I'm personally trying to create. So I don't know. I haven't found like where I stand personally with
that. Yeah, because I feel like obviously we post fashion and then like uh-huh. maybe sometimes beauty, but then it's like, is that beauty product on TikTok shop? And then if it is, then you can't have your music. And then it's like the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great when you find something you already use on TikTok. Unless we're just like
looking at it the wrong way. We could be just completely taking the wrong approach here. So,
yeah, that's where we stand currently. Maybe it'll change.
Yeah. TBD. We'll keep you guys posted. Okay. Next question is, what are your thoughts on everyone being a quote unquote social media expert and offering courses, LOL?
I think this is like truly such a funny phenomenon that we see on social media.
It truly just pisses me the F off. It gives me the ick. It like,
it's just a weird behavior on some people's parts because we just need to figure out as a society in this industry, like, how are we legitimizing this? Because I swear anyone can come in and say they're an expert and then it's like, people just like believe things really easily. Like,
well, I think it's just these people are really good at selling a fake dream and being like, oh, you can make $10,000 in 1 week if you just take my course. Here's how I did it. And it's just like, at the end of the day, like, if it was that easy, everyone would do it. Right. So like, if you ask yourself if something is too good to be true, it probably is. And then my other thing is like, these people are like, make so many sales or grow this much, but then they have like 200 followers. And it's like, okay, if this strategy is so good, why don't you apply it to your account and grow your own account to show people that you can grow? That's the thing I don't get.
I know. And people say, like, always the answer to that is like, people are saying they're growing it for other people and they don't want it for themselves. But
why not?
Just like, if you encounter these people and you really want to take a course or something, like, please be asking for legitimate case studies, examples, clients, past everything, because I just swear anyone can go on social media and say they're an expert and like, there's just such gray area. Like, I don't know.
There's that, we've talked about this before, but there's those faceless digital marketing accounts now, and I swear those
so confused.
Make me so angry. I literally go out of my way to block all of them because, first of all, they're stealing other people's content just to post content on their own pages. Like, the day that I find a content bank that has my content in it, like, all hell will break loose. Like, I just don't understand how people feel comfortable selling other people's content. And then all they do is post that on their page. Like, I will take the time to copyright infringement report you on Instagram. Like, it's just, it's giving ick, it's giving scam, it's giving fraud. And I just don't understand why Instagram allows that. I don't know.
I just like, I'm so curious if these people are making the amount of money they're saying, or they're just throwing
liars
stuff out there.
Yeah.
Just don't believe everything like, you I see think online.
There are
please.
Definitely a select few who are successful and know what they're talking about. But if a random account just started and then they're claiming all these things and then they're posting content that's not even their own content, and then they're, oh my gosh, another thing I noticed under the faceless digital marketing account is they'll have a link in bio and it'll have like 7 links to different like stand store things you can buy. Like, I think it's kind of like Etsy where you can like sell your product. I think it's called Stan Store. But then like these people have like 7 different links in their bio and it's like, buy this digital marketing course. Oh, buy this sales course, buy this content bank. And it's like, they all look the same. So if that's what you're looking at, it's probably a scam.
And yeah, feel the vibes. Like, there's so many out there. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's everyone's very, very frustrating now. Especially with people who, like, haven't even been in the industry for that long. Like, I feel like to be an expert in general, in, like, an everyday life, you have to either go to school for, like, years, like, almost a decade to be an expert. Or, like, you have to have, I don't even know. I would say, like, 5+ years of experience doing something to be considered an expert. So it's, like, just all these random accounts popping up and people posting on their threads about all these things. I'm just like,
it's heavy on threads.
This expert is word is being thrown around a little too much. Yeah. So just be cautious. And if it's too good to be true, it probably is. So
yeah,
good luck out there. It's the wild.
Don't believe everything you see, please.
Yeah, truly. Okay. Next question is how to maintain authenticity when working with a brand that doesn't necessarily fit into your everyday/normal content.
I definitely think it's possible to do that, but also if you're questioning that, maybe you should like also think about if this is something that works for your audience, works for you. If I feel like we all have those experiences where we take on a collaboration that just doesn't feel good. Like I feel like I have narrowed that down to a T now, and I have like said exactly to my management like what I want to work with, what I don't want to work with in like a very specific way, because I feel like it takes trial and error. Like you have to get those collaborations and like carry out those collaborations that don't like fit well. But then again, like sometimes you'll be surprised. Like sometimes I've gotten collaborations that weren't, for example, like a body care collab, but I really enjoyed creating the content and it actually performed well. So it kind of depends. But if it doesn't feel good, first of all, don't take it. Second of all, I think you could get creative and get inspo from like the brand's previous collaborations, like people that have worked with them in the past. But if you can't get there, like could be a sign that like maybe you don't carry it out.
I feel like maybe do some brainstorming, maybe try to come up with what your potential concept would be. And if you're having a really hard time coming up with a concept or idea, then maybe it doesn't really align. But then, like you said, I feel like that's a good example is like body care. Is like we obviously don't post body care every day, but maybe it's a vertical that you do want to start posting more in. So it's a good opportunity to kind of showcase your UGC skills and just content creation in general, creating content like that and showing, you know, other brands potentially like what you're capable of besides just, you know, quote unquote fashion. So I feel like it could potentially be a good opportunity there if you evaluate it that way and you have a really good idea, or you can incorporate it in like maybe you started posting like day in the life vlogs and you can incorporate it that way, like whatever it is. Like I feel like as long as you can come up with a good idea and it's still staying true to yourself and your brand, then totally fine. But I feel like if you are having a hard time coming up with an idea, or it just seems very out of pocket, or even just asking yourself like, what will my audience think of this? Like, will they get it? Will they understand what I'm trying to say here? Or is this like so random, like off the cuff, like doesn't make sense?
Example of this would be I got a pitch for, and it was like I think it was a high pitch for Trojan condoms/lube, and I was like, I genuinely can't carry this out no matter what the number is. I could not carry that out. Like I would feel so incredibly out of place, not comfortable, first of all. Like there's no, like what, I'm gonna stand there with Josh and like there's just no world. Like like where I was really shocked by that. But that's just an example of something that like I literally could never do. But there are some influencers like that genuinely like they talk about that kind of stuff all the time. Like it wouldn't be that out of pocket for them to do it, but just for me and like what I talk about with my audience and share online, like that is so out of pocket, and I genuinely would feel like a sellout in that like niche slash vertical. So yeah. I couldn't carry that.
And I feel
out.
Like once you do sell yourself out one time, you like, know how no icky one trusts it feels.
You too, by the way.
And then you know how icky it feels, and yeah. you never want to feel that way again. So it's yeah. like, there's no way I'm going to like feel that. Like I'm not like, we've all been there. We've all done it. We've all taken that one collab that like seemed like a good idea to begin with. And then as it went along, it
you're
just
like,
was
why did
not
I do
good.
This? Like,
there are yeah. major regrets, and that's okay. You live and you learn, but remember that feeling that that first one gave you, and then and make sure you it. Never get that feeling again from a partnership. And just, yeah, staying true to your brand and authenticity yeah. is so important, and having your audience trust you is so important. So it's not worth losing that over one high paying campaign for a brand that does not align
yeah.
with you. You're like, are these condoms pink? Because otherwise...
No, I know, like, what, I'm gonna be, like, sitting on the couch with Josh, like, well, like, I just, I don't know, I'm just, I would love to see who's
doing
is collabing
campaign.
With them, but yeah,
that's
very
so funny.
Funny,
but, like, such a great example.
Also, like, vibrators, I've been pitched,
oh,
like, multiple
gosh.
Vibrators, and I'm,
same.
Like, but also,
what are
like,
you supposed to do in this
some
campaign?
Of my
are
favorite artists, like, yeah, they collab with them, and, like, they're, it's literally, like, a selfie with the vibrator, and it's cute and pink.
Oh, I've
but,
totally
like, I
seen like celebrities do that for
yeah.
sure.
And
oh
I
yeah, and then
like
we recently discovered one of the influencers that we like to follow that you follow.
Oh, yeah, she
like has her own vibrator company,
yeah.
and we were
and
like,
like,
whoa!
Cute, but like, wow,
that
yeah,
came out
it was
of nowhere,
just very unexpected.
Yeah,
so. Yeah, yeah. You just never want to feel like a sellout, because I swear to God, like people will think of you differently. So just. Keep that in mind.
Yeah.
It's like one high paying collab versus like your entire
long-term
yeah,
long-term career.
Trust, yeah, with your audience.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely prioritize that for sure. Okay. Next question is, do you think hiring a VA would be worth it? VA is a virtual assistant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if you like don't hire one just because you think it could be cool to like have a virtual mm-hmm. assistant or an assistant in general. Like if you can genuinely list out things that you would have them do and it would be beneficial to you, then yeah, for sure. We both work with assistants and they have helped a lot. But something I did was I made a Word doc. And I was going to, like, have it for her, too. But then I was creating this Word doc of, like, all the tasks that I would want her to do. And then I was realizing I made it more for me because I was like, okay, what are the areas I need help with? And, like, is this truly worth it? And can you create, like, a very, like, a long, not a long list, but just, like, a very helpful list of tasks and duties? Can you think of things that would actually, like, take a lot off your plate? Mm-hmm. And if you can, then yeah. But... if you can't and you just
yeah.
think it would be cool, like maybe don't, because it's an investment
yeah.
for sure.
I feel like we got to a point where it was like everything just felt like it was becoming too much. It was overwhelming and the focus was less on content creation and more on businessy things. And I feel like that's a good point
yeah.
to kind of evaluate.
Yeah. If you're like struggling with just feeling stressed all the time, like, that's when I knew too. It was time. I just felt like I could not get a break at all.
Well,
so.
I feel like too, like I had all these ideas and I wanted to do all these
yeah,
things, but
true.
I just didn't have the time to do that. Or even just uploading across multiple platforms and like repurposing my content. Like I feel like it was just taking so much time. Like I wanted to same. Like upload everything to Pinterest, but to create a pin on Pinterest, it was taking so long. And I was like, I don't have this time to be doing this. Like, I want to be creating the content and doing other things. So it's like, I feel like sometimes the issue is like, you think you have enough work for someone and then it's only like 1 to 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure what you're listing out is enough for to make it worth it for them to have you as a client, basically,
yeah.
if that makes sense. So like, I would honestly say like, minimum 5 hours a week, or I mean, I'm sure they'll have a minimum in general, but
yeah.
I feel like being able to give someone 5 hours a week is even super helpful, because like for me, I have my assistant help me with like LTK things. So LTK graphics, posting on LTK, linking everything, helping me with my vlog, editing my YouTubes, like repurposing all my content to Pinterest, YouTube shorts, LTK, helping me with blog posts, like any like admin type situations, I feel like I have her help me with, and it takes so much off my plate and helps me feel less exhausted and less burdened and less stressed, where I can actually enjoy content creation. Because what would happen is I would film an entire vlog of a trip or a haul or whatever, and then I would never get around to editing it, and it would just sit on my camera, and I would be so pissed because I'd be like, I spent all that time filming the content, but now I don't even have time to sit down and edit it and post it. Then like, what was the freaking point? Mm-hmm. So as soon as I hired an assistant, I had her edit, like, I'm not joking, I think it was like 4 vlogs in a row. And it was like old, like Paris vlogs, like old vlogs. But I was like, you know what? I filmed this content. Like, we are doing something with it so that it didn't go to waste and it wasn't all for nothing. So I feel like when you get to that point where you're just like right at that overwhelmed point, then that could be like a good time to be like, hey, do I need a virtual assistant? And like, maybe you don't need help shooting content, but you need help with the back end kind of situation, then like a virtual assistant's great, because then you don't actually have to meet in person or anything. So I feel like that's when you know it's worth it, because obviously they cost money and they're not like cheap. So it's like, it has to be worth the investment for your business. So,
and also just think about like, will it take me more time coming up with duties and like tasks for them to do every single week? Because that's gonna add on a whole layer of stress. So like, if you think that you can't easily come up with a list of tasks every single week for them to do, then maybe it's not time yet. So just think about it critically. But it can be a really, really amazing investment into your business too.
Yeah. Definitely. Okay, next question is, I've noticed people are heavily pushing LTK. Is this a new strategy for influencers? What is the strategy / motive, and is it collabs?
Yeah, I feel like honestly I'm noticing it more too, but honestly I think it's because LTK has just like, they have really created an amazing business model. Like, they are constantly evolving their platform. I feel like everything is so streamlined, and they're just like, I don't know, I feel like they're adding on so many cool incentives for influencers and connecting brands with influencers, creating their own platform. I'm just like always, I don't know. I recently had a call with them and I was just like really amazed by like how strategic it is. I don't know. But I think that they are taking more time to like connect with influencers. So maybe that's why you might be seeing people like pushing it more, but also I think it's a really good way for you to always have links. Like, maybe it looks a little spammy at times, but it is like a really good way to shop your favorite like creators links and stuff. Like, it's a one place, your entire feed can be on there. You have pretty much access to every single link someone is wearing. And like, there's also an incentive on the other end because we do get a commission from that. And I feel like before LTK, I just didn't, like, I would link things here and there, but it takes time. Like, I feel like it takes time to get the link. Like, it's kind of just like a little reward, and we're talking cents, okay? Like, the the commission can be cents sometimes, so it's nothing crazy. But yeah, I don't know. They have like a really good business model, and it's a really incentivized way for us to like put everything together, I guess.
Yeah, I really think they're investing in their creators and just the community in general, because I feel like there's definitely more competition on the market than there used to be years ago. So I think they really just want to foster the relationships with their influencers and obviously keep them on board, if that makes sense. And they, I feel like they've been doing a ton of more events. They like really promote like
they have LTK a whole conference.
So I just feel like for influencers, it's kind of like, why wouldn't you do this? Because it's like, if you are gonna link something, you might as well make a small commission off of it, just like for your time, and like you're referring that customer to the shop, so it's like you might as well get a little cut out of it. You know what I mean? And again, it doesn't cost the customer anything extra. And it's just like can add up over time into your pocket. So I feel like maybe more people are just starting to realize that. I don't know. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I feel like probably that. Also, they do have a platform for LTK that is for LTK users and brands. So you can get paid collaborations on LTK. And I think they're trying to like utilize that more maybe, but it's again more incentive for influencers and creators if you're not already on LTK, because the more you sell, the more the brands see, because they see all of your stats and your analytics on the back end. They see how much you post and how your audience responds to what you're posting and selling. So they see that and they want to work obviously with the girls that are selling a lot on LTK. They're consistent on there. People, maybe you're selling a lot of a certain brand that can get their attention. So I feel like there's just more and more incentives for creators. So if you guys aren't using LTK, like heavily suggest you like invest some time, start posting on there more. We're like finally, I feel like consistent. I feel like I was not consistent at all last year. I think I was slowly getting there, but this year I really made like a goal for myself to post consistently, have my assistant help with that. And you definitely see the payoff. It can be slow, but you'll get there. Trust me.
Yeah. And I think too, as brands kind of move into the ROI space and using mm-hmm. sales with like determining collabs and stuff, it's just good data to have. And if you have really good data, it's a really good way to pitch yourself. And I feel like you can really pitch yourself at a good rate if you can show brands like what you're able to do. So I feel like there's a lot of good benefits for it. So definitely recommend doing that. And you can just like curate your own shop and like do your own posts and like your favorite products. That way, anyone who follows you, if they want to shop any of your favorites, they literally can just go to that link and you literally have everything right there.
Yeah, you can sell things from like so long ago that you wouldn't even have thought of. But like just because you had that post up, someone bought from that post. So it's it can be like passive income. I don't know. There's literally no downside to it other than just investing a little bit more time.
Yeah. Okay. Next question is random, but how do you guys keep your skin so clear?
That's really sweet. Okay. What do? I
feel like we started investing in our skin first of all. So like we use like high quality skincare / medical grade skincare. And then like before my wedding, I started getting monthly facials. And I feel like now I've honestly been kind of keeping that up, or like honestly, maybe every 6 weeks. But I feel like that really helped my skin personally, like hydrafacials and like really clearing it out. Cause I feel like I do struggle with breakouts. So that's really helped me. And then you've been doing facials too.
Yeah, I did. I think I just got my third laser facial done, and that has really helped my skin. Honestly, I forgot how good it was. And then I finally got it again this year. I got it twice last year and I saw a huge difference. So investing in your skin, I think I asked my, I don't know what to call it, doctor. He's a dermatologist, like what he suggested for my skin. And I was talking about like in a cosmetic way. Like I was like, do I need filler? Like, what do you think? And he's like, honestly, like, I think people look the best when they invest in their skincare. And I would just say a laser, like you really don't need anything else. Like investing in your actual skincare is the best thing over like Botox and filler, if that's like what you're deciding between. So that helped me decide on just doing the laser. But also, I think the best thing that I've done for my skin other than that is, one, unfortunately, cutting out dairy. That has done wonders for my skin. I used to get really deep cystic acne when I was eating dairy, so that has helped. And then also, less is more. I feel like some girls
are pushing
like a 10-step skin routine, and that works like for some people, but not everyone.
Like, you don't need that. Like, I feel like for me, I literally use like a cleanser, an exfoliate, like a micro exfoliating polish type situation, like occasionally a serum and a moisturizer.
Yes, same.
And that's exactly when my skin is the happiest. When I tried to do the whole 10-step thing, I feel like I was breaking out even more. And I was like, okay, this is not for me. So.
And when I am breaking out, I literally just use a moisturizer and it clears up. Like, I swear my skin just, you don't need that much. In the daytime, I do like a serum. I don't like Veno Perfect Caudalie serum, a vitamin C serum, moisturizer, SPF. That's it. And then at night, I just do the Caudalie serum, moisturizer, and an eye cream, honestly. Sometimes I'll do an exfoliate, but that's literally it. And I feel like my skin has been pretty good. So less is more sometimes, and invest in your skin.
Sure. Yeah, I think some of my favorite medical grade skincare is Zoskin. I think Zoskin. Obagi.
Oh,
I'm trying to think what else. What do you use?
Caudalie.
Did your doctor recommend anything? Or brands?
I didn't actually ask. I should ask. Yeah, I need to
ask. I know. I feel like places just try to sell whatever they're carrying.
I know. Like, they honestly, they like love. I mean, they gave me samples, but it was literally CeraVe. I will say CeraVe does not work for my skin. Don't know why. It breaks me out. So I can't use that. And then they really like La Roche-Posay SPF.
Oh, okay.
And then they love this brand, Isdin. And I've actually seen someone collaborate with them, and they're literally my sister's favorite now. Like, I guess everyone in the office, like, that's what they wear on their skin every day. It's Isdin's SPF, like, tinted moisturizer. That's what it is. SPF tinted moisturizer.
Okay,
they
love
this brand, Isdin.
Color Science's tinted sunscreen moisturizer situation. That's the one that like matches your skin. So like it goes on white, and then as you rub it in, like matches your skin.
Wait, that's really cool.
I love
that. Yeah, I love a tinted moisturizer, honestly. I try not to wear too much makeup like when I don't need to.
Yeah. So, same. Yeah, like letting your skin breathe, giving your skin a break, like and another thing too is like I feel like gut health, like you said with dairy, plays big role in it. So on top of dairy, like cutting out processed foods, seed oils, anything that's just not good for your body. Obviously, like, cheat days are fine, and like having a pizza, whatever, but trying to stay on top of your health and just the quality of foods that I feel like you're putting in your body make a really big difference, because I feel like a lot of that stuff kind of comes from within as well too.
Totally.
So I feel like we've been on that journey, so thanks for asking.
Yeah,
because we've really been
I know very sweet. But also, like, sometimes influencers, like, don't get fooled. Like, people always are using, especially on TikTok, the like blurring filter, and Alex Earl talks about it a lot.
Gosh,
it's very easy
I
to
know.
Hide. So if you're thinking you're alone in like not having the best skin, specifically on TikTok, like, their girls are using the beauty filter, I think, in like every video. So
yeah,
keep
well, I think
that
it's
in mind.
Like, the setting is just to be on, right? Like, you actually have to go in and turn it off if you don't want it. Where it should not, it should be the other way around.
Yeah,
you should
you
have to go
really
and turn
know.
It on.
Sometimes girls will post photos of like their acne journey, and I'm like, I never even knew you had acne. Like, I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah. So yeah, just remember that. Okay, next question is, what are your guys' tips for working with friends?
Good question. I feel like the number one thing would be communication and just making sure. Well, one, I feel like knowing each other's like strengths and weaknesses is really beneficial, because like maybe you guys can balance each other out, but communication for sure. I feel like you can never over communicate, honestly. Just even if it feels annoying, I feel like that's the best thing to avoid any sort of conflict.
Yeah, I feel like you said, like, knowing the other person's things and like what they like and don't like. So I feel like, for an example, like, Danielle's really good at finding Airbnbs. So like, really, whenever we travel, that's what she does. And then I'm like really good at putting schedules together. So I'm always like throwing a schedule together really quick, sharing the Google Doc or the notes. So like everyone's on the same page. And it's just like, we kind of know what the other person like either prefers doing or likes doing or doesn't like doing. And then it's like, I don't know. I feel like we are different in a lot of ways like that. So like we actually balance each other out because like I'll do things that she doesn't want to do and she'll do things that like I don't want to do. So, mm-hmm. or like I'll make reservations.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. Like it's
just like
yeah.
little things like that. I feel like
knowing the little things for each other. And then I also feel like not taking things too personally, unless like you genuinely think that person is trying to offend you.
Yeah, that's a good one. I feel like, yeah, at the end of the day, it's like, you know that person. And like, I feel like with text too, sometimes things like when you're texting friends, like things can be read a certain way, but like mm-hmm. you didn't mean it that way. So it's like, if you are in that situation, like not looking too deep into mm-hmm. a message, just like take it for what it is. And like, that's it. And then like, I feel like if you do feel a certain way, like for me personally, I think it's healthy to address things with friends mm-hmm. that way. Like it's not just kind of like sitting and like building up tension in a way, but like you're able to just like talk about it, get it off your chest. And then you can kind of understand where they were coming from. And then maybe there wasn't even an issue at all. And like, you were just thinking things. Like, I feel like, mm-hmm. like you said, like communication, just communicating about that stuff. Just like, hey, are we good? Like, hey, did I upset you? Did I do something? Like, it's always good to just like check in and be like, we good? Like, how you feeling? Like, you know, because that way you can like get the vibe. Or like if we're on a trip, like, you know, Danielle could be like, I'm so tired tonight. Like I'm out, like I can't go, like I'm going to stay mm-hmm. in. Like, okay, great. Like communicate that, not just like, you know, staying and be like, oh my gosh, she didn't want to come. Like, is she mad at me? Like, did I do something? Like, she doesn't want to hang out with us. You know what I mean? Like, it's very easily like taken care of if you just communicate. You're just like, hey, I just need some personal space. I need to relax. I need to not do something. We've been going nonstop for 2 weeks. I need to sit down. Yeah. Like, okay, great.
Totally.
Perfect. You know what I mean? So I feel like that's good. I'm trying to think anything else.
Yeah, I feel like that's the biggest thing, to communicate and learn how to do that.
Yeah, and I feel like too, it's kind of, it's like, I feel like it's kind of like school when you have like a project. If like, it's like if you guys have a project together, like divvy up tasks so you can say like mm-hmm. who's doing what, who's responsible for what, so that there's no like confusion or things get done and like everyone has their tasks to work on. So it's like two people aren't working on the same thing when something else isn't being worked on. That way you can get everything mm-hmm. done too. So like with our trip coming up and stuff, we kind of like split tasks and like work on certain things. So I feel like that's pretty much it. And just like not taking things too seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good one.
So definitely lots of learning. And
like at the end of the day, remember, like, that's your friend. And are you going to mm-hmm. prioritize like your work over your friend? And like your, you know, I feel like things can get lost sometimes. We've seen it happen with other people. So, mm-hmm. just remember. I don't know. I feel like there's a lot that can go into it, honestly. So you kind of just have to like set your intentions.
No, I like what you said. Like, you know your friend. Like, are they intentionally going to try to like upset you?
Yeah.
No, probably not. So they probably didn't mean anything a certain way, or maybe just something didn't come out the right way, but that's not what they meant. So like, is that worth like blowing something up over? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Probably not. So yeah, I feel like that's kind of what we do and what we try to focus on and how it works. So
yeah, agree.
Yeah. Okay. Next one is, do you work on the weekends or do you take them off?
I feel like I used to work on the weekends, like every weekend. Like, it's just kind of hard in this industry also because the weeks, like, we don't have
days don't really matter.
Yeah. Like, we don't have a typical schedule where it's like Monday through Friday, we go into the office. Like, I feel like it's kind of an ongoing forever sort of thing. So I feel like I used to work on the weekends, and now I'm really trying to take time away from my phone and like set that boundary with myself. But if I just have, if like this, my schedule for the week just happens to be busy in the middle of the week and like at toward the end of the week, like on the weekends, like that's when I have time to film or whatever, I'll definitely do that. So it kind of is just different. But with Josh, and when he goes into the office every day, so I really try to spend the time on the weekends like offline more with him. But
yeah, I think same. I try to just look at my schedule for the whole week And maybe I don't really have anything Tuesday, Wednesday. So those are just slower kind of chill days. But then I have to film and I need like a dedicated shoot day. Like sometimes that'll just be a Saturday. And like Andrew will like, he goes surfing with friends in the morning and then they get brunch. So then he's out of the house for like a good 4 to 6 hours. So that really helps me because then I have the house to myself. And I'm like, okay. When I'm planning my week, I already know like Saturday is my shoot day. So then I'm like, okay, I'm going to get all this stuff done on Saturday. And that way I feel like I can just plan my week out. So then maybe me and him will do something on a weekday, you know, like it doesn't have to, like you said, quote unquote, be a weekend. But yeah, I feel like when we're together, I try to be present in those moments, no matter what day that is.
Yeah.
Like if he's out of the house for a long period of time, I feel like I am going to take advantage of that time because he works from home. So he's always home basically. And if he's on phone calls or whatever, like I don't have that quiet time that I need to like film content with audio or film like a YouTube video or whatever. So if he's gone, then I will be like, okay, he's going to be gone. Like we sit down and we're like, okay, what's your schedule like this week? And we kind of talk about our schedules. That way he'll be like, okay, I'm going to be gone all day Wednesday. And I'm like, okay, great. Wednesday's going to be my shoot day. I'm going to like film all this content. And like, then I don't have to do it Saturday. But I feel like every week is honestly different. So I feel like I can't say like, no, I don't work on the weekends. I don't know.
Just depends on the schedule.
Yeah. But like you said, we're not working like 8 hours straight, 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. So our schedules are a bit more flexible. So we can take like a Tuesday off if we want and work on a Saturday instead, if that makes sense. But we just kind of feel it out and see what the week brings.
Yeah.
So yeah. Okay. Last question is, what are your guys' thoughts on showing your babies as influencers? Are your babies going to be influencers? What's the baby vibe?
Yeah, I feel like we're, like, thinking more about this now. But I feel like the trend overall in social media, because I feel like it was so overdone with, like, family vloggers. And there was a whole thing about, like, child safety and everything. And I feel like the trend now is, like, people show their babies but not their faces. And I feel like we've talked about this, but we both heavily align with that idea.
I think it's like so cute when you have your baby in like a cute little outfit with the little bear ears or whatever.
So but I know exactly what you're talking about.
But then you have like the baby like facing you so that the baby's face isn't showing. Like I feel like that's the vibe. And I just feel like, I don't know, for me in this day and age, like the internet is just filled with creepy people. And like I just wouldn't feel comfortable putting my child's face online like that. And I feel like I have friends who are mommy bloggers and they've kind of taken that path too. And I'm like, I feel like I really resonate with that because like, I feel like it's so hard to protect kids these days that it's like, you kind of have to do what you can. And honestly, to each their own. Like if you're showing your baby's face online, that's your choice.
Completely fine. Yeah.
But I just think like it is a very scary world out there. And I just, I don't know if I would want to put my kids on the internet if they don't want to be on the internet. You know, I want them to have that choice for themselves.
Yeah. Like the whole, like, if you guys have seen this on TikTok, the Ren, Eleanor girl. Yes,
like that stuff scares me. I think
that scared everyone because it started out so innocent. And I just feel like somewhere along the line, like it took a very dark turn. And she had like 17 million followers, a lot of men, a lot of saves on like really weird videos. So I don't know. I feel like with the times, that's probably how we would move forward.
And like, I feel like, because I definitely envision myself being a mommy vlogger for sure. It's just, I think it's hard to tell where you're going to draw the line until you get there.
So we're
like trying to plan ahead and like talk about it through and talk it now, but obviously we'll see when it happens and how to go about it. Cause it's like, who knows how social media is going to change. Maybe they'll come out with some really good protective laws for kids. Maybe they won't. Yeah. So we'll see where social media is at when the time comes, but we've got a little bit of time to figure that out. So I feel like that's kind of our thoughts on that, but that's it for our Q&A episode. Thank you guys so much for submitting all your questions. We always love chatting through these and answering them. Do you want to share our listener of the week this week?
Yes, our listener of the week is Jewel. Her Instagram handle is Rented Thrifted Real, like spelled exactly how it sounds, Rented Thrifted Real. She asked some of the questions that we answered today, and also she is a two-time girls trip veteran that has turned into a bestie. We met her on our trip for the first time, our girls trip, and we just fell in love with Jewel. She is the coolest. She's amazing. She's such a queen. And also she, for the girlies going to New York Fashion Week, she is having a little event on September 5th with Allison Olivia, I believe, which is amazing.
So
it's
cool.
A little shopping party. So go to her profile, check her out. She's kind of like a real life Sex in the City girly. Like, I swear her life truly is kind of crazy and unreal. So yeah, go check her out. Shout out to you, Jewel. We freaking love you and can't wait to see your New York Fashion Week event.
And also we'll see her in Paris. Paris.
Yeah, we're going too, to Paris Fashion Week with her
so
too.
So excited. Yeah, it was just one of those things where she went on her Paris trip and we had no idea who each other were. And then I feel like we just instantly clicked and she's
She's so
freaking
funny.
Cool,
she's
you
so
guys.
Fab.
And she's a writer slash journalist in New York. So seriously, like Sex in the City vibes, like all the way. She's so fabulous. So yeah, we're so excited for her. And that's so huge for her to literally write and publish a book. That's so freaking cool.
Yeah.
I think it's called The Encyclopedia of New York Fashion.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
So cool for her to be partnering with Alice and Olivia. So all you have to do is pre-order her book on her website. It's in her link in her bio, and we shared it on the influence community and we'll share it again. Mm-hmm. I think she only has like 15-ish spots left. So if you guys are interested, it's going to be a really cool event for Fashion Week. So you guys can sign up, support a small business that is herself, a small growing author, just support another girly, get an autographed book and go to a really cool event. So we love you so much, Jewel.
Book.
We wish we could go. I know.
Yeah.
She's so funny. She calls me A-Train, and I forgot to tell you, you're D-Money, by the
way. Yes, I've heard her say D-Money before. She's a character.
Those are our nicknames. We love her. But thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode. We hope you enjoyed it, and if you made it all the way through, we love you even more, and we hope you guys have an amazing week. If you are going to Fashion Week this week, have so much freaking fun. We cannot wait to see all the content and the events, and can't wait to engage and comment on all your guys's stunning content. So that is pretty much it, and let us know if you guys are going to Paris Fashion Week. We want to potentially host a meetup, so we just need to see how many girlies are going. And I realized when you put a poll on your post, like, it doesn't actually show you who like voted or like how many votes. It just shows like a percentage and who's voted in general. So it doesn't actually give you the relative information that you need. So maybe next time I'm going to do a different poll, a different kind of poll where you can actually see the data. But hope you guys have an amazing week. Safe travels to all those going to New York. And we will chat with you guys in the next episode. Bye.
Bye. Thanks so much for listening. We hope you guys loved this episode.
Don't forget to subscribe for new episodes every Monday. Leave us a rating and review, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.